This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Over there is where Maryam alayha salam had her mihrab. It is the place where Maryam alayha salam would go and have special worship. Now, before we talk about who Maryam alayha salam was, let's think about who the mother of Maryam alayha salam was. The mother of Maryam alayha salam, when she was pregnant with her baby and she made a special dua, you may have heard this dua before. You may have read it in the Quran before. Maybe you made it if you were pregnant at some time. This dua came from a place of incredible pain for the mother of Maryam. And the reason is because she had been making dua to have a baby. She wanted to become pregnant, and she wasn't able to become pregnant. And then she sees a bird. This one is mentioned in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. She sees a little bird feeding its babies. And as she sees that bird feeding its babies, she starts making dua, oh Allah, bless her with the baby. She wants to have a baby, even though she's been making this dua already. This is one narration. There's other narrations that talk about a slightly different story. But the point is, she sees this bird, she makes dua for a baby, she's now pregnant. For anyone who has ever wanted a child and who has been struggling with infertility, the joy of pregnancy is so beautiful. And then with this joy, you can imagine that she is going to have a baby with her husband, and they're going to be first-time parents, and they're so excited. And then her husband passes away. So Imran radiallahu anhu alayhi salam, Imran passes away. So now, instead of looking forward to being a mother with her husband, she is scared because she's going to become a single mother and she doesn't know how she's going to navigate that. And there are different tafsir that talk about her emotions in this time. Tafsir al-Razi, Ibn Ashur, different tafsir talk about her feelings and the way that she felt. And what they say is that she went to this dua that we have in the Quran, where she says, Rabbi inni nadhartu laka ma fi batni muharraran fataqabbal minni innaka antas samii'ul 'aliim. Oh Allah, I dedicate what is in my womb to you. You are the hearing and you are the knowing. As-samii' and al-'aliim. As-samii' and al-'aliim. Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why would she use these two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when she's making dua? I want you to put a hold on her story for a second. And let's go to a different story of the Qur'an. Khawla bin Tha'laba radiallahu anha. This is a companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And she had a situation with her husband. So her husband basically got in an argument with her. And then he said to her, you are like the back of my mother. Which in the time of pre-Islamic Arabia was considered a divorce statement. Later on, different narrations say that he went out with his friends. A different narration says like an hour later. Another one says the next day. He came to her and tried to be intimate with her. And she said she physically pushed him off because she said that basically he had divorced her and she doesn't know if that's even okay to do. So she said she went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when she talks to him, she explains to the Prophet, peace be upon him, what happened. And do you know what she says about her husband? She says that he is the most beloved person to me. She does not want a divorce. She wants to stay with her husband. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't had any divorce laws revealed yet. So when vihar is happening, which this version of divorce, there's nothing else that has replaced it from the Quran yet. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just basically says that the divorce happened because that's the way that had already taken place. So then what does Khawla do? She turns towards the Qibla and she starts making dua. And she says that, oh Allah, I complain to you, I ask you, I beg of you, I am asking you. And she's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about how she's feeling. And she's begging him to clarify for her. And as she's sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is when the ayah was revealed. Tell me the ayah. What is the end of that verse? Inna Allaha sami'un basir. So this surah says, Inna Allaha Sami'un Basir. He is the one who hears, all hearing, and he is the all seeing. In the other ayah, where the mother of Maryam alayhi salam is making dua, she says he is the one who what? Sami', the all hearing, and the all knowing. When someone is in a situation that Khawla experienced in a marriage, for example, or any type of relationship, there's two sides to a story. Basir, the one who hears, and what a basir, why? Because when you see, when you feel seen, when someone witnesses what you are going through, when they validate the fact that they, now a person, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person validates the fact that they believe you, that they see you, that they've ordered space for you, it makes a difference emotionally. Shastada Dalia Ayyub is doing her PhD in Women in the Quran. She said there are 26 different women mentioned in the Quran, and every single one of them is addressed in a different way with the emotional needs that she has. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically recognizes the different emotional needs of women and the different stories of women in the Quran. So Khawla radiallahu anha, she is talking about her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking, addressing her emotional need of being seen. He hears her. Samir, he heard and he saw. Versus Maryam alayhi salam's mother. He is the one who, what? Samir, he hears her, and what? Al-Alim. Why? Because Al-Alim is the one who knows what you're going through. He knows what is in your womb when you cannot even see it. He knows what your future holds when you are so scared and you have no idea. And so Maryam alayhi salam's mother is making dua, and she's calling to him, and she's saying, you are the one who can see, and you are the one who knows. Samir, hear, and the one who knows. She makes this dua, and the very next verse goes to when she gives birth. So we've skipped the rest of the story. She's lost her husband. She's calling out to Allah, dedicating who is in her womb. And then what? فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى فَإِنِّي سَمَيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ وَإِنِّي أُعِيدُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. In this ayah, she gives birth, and she's in shock. Why? Because when she is saying she's sacrificing who is in her womb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she assumes it's going to be a boy, because here only men were allowed. There were no women in Baitul Maqdis. So she assumed if she's giving her child as dedication to Allah, Allah's going to make that child a boy. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her a girl. And think about Musa's mother. If she had had a girl, she wouldn't have the fear of losing her child. And if Maryam's mother had had a boy, she wouldn't have the fear of what she's going to do with her baby. SubhanAllah, Allah chose Maryam to be a girl intentionally, as he chose Musa to be a boy intentionally. But each person has a different role in a time period where sometimes they don't understand why. But the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, she gives birth, and when she gives birth, she says over and over, Inni. Did you hear me saying Inni? Wa Inni samituha Maryam. Wa Inni. Wa Inni. Wa Inni. Scholars of tafsir say that she says inni and inni and inni over and over because she is in shock. She doesn't know how to navigate what she's saying. Inni is and I. She is stuttering over her words. And initially she did not like the fact that she had a girl. Initially she was unhappy with the fact that she had a girl. Not because girls are not amazing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't bless her with a beautiful baby girl, but because she didn't know what she's going to do. How's she going to have her baby go into Baitul Maqdis?
All of you, can you hear me? No? You can't. Okay. So she's saying this over and over and over and over again. Now when we talked about Khawla radiallahu anha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse about her, this surah over and over mentions what in every single verse? Any ideas? What is mentioned in every single verse of Surah Al-Mujadila? It's Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is mentioned in every single verse. That's the only surah in the entire Quran where Allah's name is mentioned in every single ayah. So the surah in which he acknowledges someone going through emotional pain and trying to navigate what that's going to look like for their future is the one where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his name over and over. Why? Because when you say someone's name like this over and over, it's a sign of your love for them, how much they mean to you, and how great their name is. When the mother of Maryam alayhi salam is calling out, she's calling out to Allah. She's saying the same word over and over, acknowledging that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees her and that he answers her. And then she makes dua for her daughter. Why? To show that she's happy with the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she loves her child. This is why she makes dua. We're going to wrap up so fast, inshallah, because I know all of you are so cold. So I'm going to speed through the story. When Maryam alayhi salam is raised here, Zakariya alayhi salam was the person who was chosen to watch after her. She was also his niece. And all of his life, he's making dua, we're assuming making dua to have a baby. towards the end of his life in his 90s, he is making this dua like with such humility. He enters upon Maryam, he sees that she has fruit, he thinks maybe his wife and him can have a baby out of season, like the fruit is out of season. Here, imagine here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it here, that they got fruit. Then he goes and he makes dua for a baby. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered him right there. He made dua right there, and then the angel, the verse says angels, but angel Jibreel alayhi salam is so great that sometimes for something great you use the plural. So different scholars say it's angel Jibreel alayhi salam or the group of angels. However, the point, Zakaria alayhi salam is making dua for so many years. When you make dua, and you've been making dua for years and years and years, and you wonder, is this actually something I should keep making dua for? Is this something that's actually good for me? Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to give it to me. When I used to make dua, this is what I would do. I would make a specific dua, and I'd say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please bless me with, please give it to me, this particular thing, and I'd say it out loud. In my heart, I would say, I know Allah is not going to give this to me, because He wants to test me with the opposite of what I want. I would make the dua out loud, oh Allah, give, and in my heart, I would say, I know He's not going to answer, because He knows how badly I want it. And that moment of recognition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is I am as my servant thinks I am. He says, I am as my servant thinks I am. So when we're praying to Him and we are in our hearts thinking, well, He's not even going to respond. He's not even going to answer me. Why would He, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course He still can. He's so generous that He would. You know, Ibn al-Ta'illah, he mentioned something very powerful, that you're a sign. That you have more hope in your deeds than in the mercy of Allah is that when you make a mistake, when you commit a sin, or when you don't do as much good as you should be doing, you think that Allah's mercy is closed for you. Because you are not thinking about Allah's mercy. You're thinking you're not deserving of Allah's mercy because your deeds are not enough. And so you assume He's not going to answer you. That is hope in your own deeds. Allah's mercy is so much more vast. So when we talk about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He answers your dua. Think about Zakaria alayhi salam. How many decades did he make dua for? And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered him in the best time for him. And the right time for him to be the cousin of Jesus. His son Yahya to be the cousin of Jesus. They supported one another as they walked in this land and they called people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at Maryam alayhi salam, when Angel Jibreel came to her and gave her the glad tidings, he said, لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامٍ زَكِيَّ. Do you know the ahaba laki? It means to give you the glad tidings. Ahaba laki, glad tidings. Was her response like, Allahu Akbar, yay? Was she like, Alhamdulillah, chosen? Was she like, the best news ever, I can't wait to be a mom? No, she was so scared. But first of all, her entire worship, her fasting and her dua and her salah and all of those things, which she did here. In fact, there's a different narrations on when she came in and she saw Jibreel alayhi salam. Do you guys want to end? Is it freezing? Do you want me to just do a sentence? Okay, I'll talk faster. So, when Angel Jibreel alayhi salam was there in his mihrab, what Maryam alayhi salam was doing, there's different narrations. When was that? Okay, never mind. This is the point. The point is that she came back and she sees Angel Jibreel alayhi salam in the mihrab and she sees a beautiful man. He's described as a very beautiful man. And she sees a beautiful man in her room. And she is a daya. Look, all that worship and work led to her immediately saying, if you have fear of Allah, then go back. Then what? Who does she call upon? Remind him of Ar-Rahman. Why Ar-Rahman? Why not Allah? Ar-Rahman is the most merciful. Whatever your intentions were, this is a moment that you can repent. This is a moment that you can come back to Allah. Don't do whatever you're thinking about. Make repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she calls Angel Jibreel back to Allah. And then Angel Jibreel, you know what Ibn Kathir says? That he got so scared. He was so like shocked by her response that he said, Innama ana bashar. Innama ana, help me. I forgot for a second. Inna what? No. Innama ana rasul. I'm just here. I'm just a messenger. So Angel Jibreel alayhi salam then gives her the glad tidings. Her response is to be in shock. How? How is this physically possible? No man has ever touched her. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, of course, tells her whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills he can do. Now, what I want to focus on here is the fact that Allah uses the word li'ahaba laki, that this is a gift. Because to her in that moment, Allah could have described any other response. He could have described her, maybe later on she said alhamdulillah. Maybe later on she was like, wow, I'm so excited. Maybe she had positive experience moments or statements that she did say. None of those are recorded in the Quran. None of them are recorded in the Quran. Allah recorded her raw emotional shock and pain and fear when Allah sent an angel to tell her she's being given a gift. In your life, when you're making dua, in your life, in general, there are going to be times that something does not seem like a gift. There was a dua I was making for 8 years. I was making this dua in sajda, in umrah, in Ramadan, when it was raining, when I was sick, when I was traveling. Same dua over and over. Open this door, open this door, open this door. The exact opposite kept happening. And this was different from the other dua I just explained to you. Over and over, the exact opposite would happen. Like, ya Allah, why? Why? I'm trying to understand the wisdom. I accept it, I believe, but like, I'm trying to understand the wisdom. 8 years later, I remember I was in my room and I got the news, and the news that I was looking for was the answer to the dua I had been making for 8 years. And then it hit me, and I remember I just dove into sajda because the greatness of yes being answered. But I suddenly realized all those closed doors pushed me to be answered in the way that I specifically needed, in a way that I could not have dreamed of asking. I couldn't have made dua for the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it happen for me. Had I even thought to make dua for this way, it wouldn't have existed. He closed all these doors for me to push me into a specific way of answering this dua in the best way and in the best time, in the way that I needed it most for my life. So when we're thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us gifts that sometimes don't seem like a gift, sometimes a hardship that you're going through does not seem like a gift. A loss does not seem like a gift. And it doesn't mean that it's a gift that you're like, you know, like great news sometimes. But it means that there's wisdom in it that sometimes we may not be able to understand. When Maryam alayhi salam was giving birth, immediately it jumps to her giving birth. What does she say? Is she like, alhamdulillah, I'm going to meet my baby? No, she's saying, I wish I died before this. Now, scholars mention different reasons why. One of them being because physically when a woman has birth, especially unmedicated, extremely painful, she's all on her own. She's doing this as a young woman. But also because she was the pillar. She was the image of righteousness. And if the pillar and the image of righteousness could get pregnant by the view of other people, then what does that mean for all she represents of piety? And so she was so scared of what people were going to say about that as well. When she says, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasiya mansiya, that she says that she wished she had died before this and something forgotten, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands her to do something. He commands her to shake the date palm tree. Now, you might have heard that the reason for that is because we have to do our part, right? We have to make dua and do our take action. We also do our part, which is 100% true. But she is literally giving birth. She is very much doing her part right in that moment. Something fascinating to think about is that psychologists today, cognitive behavioral therapists today, say you cannot change your feelings. You want to feel better? Don't think about changing your feelings. Focus on an action. Do an action. The action will impact your thoughts. The thoughts will impact your feelings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands her to do an action. And that action of shaking the date palm tree does something else. In psychology today, when someone is having anxious cyclical thoughts, they tell them to do something to break the cycle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells her to an action. She focuses on something else. And we don't know, of course, Allah doesn't reveal in the Quran what happened in her thought process. But the Quran stops talking about her thought process because for a couple of verses, that's the only focus. So now the focus is take this action, take a moment to rest and to recover. And once you rest and recover, do what? Go out with your baby. Why does she go out with her baby? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal to Zakaria alayhi salam to go out with the baby? Why wasn't Angel Jibreel alayhi salam ordered to go out with the baby? Why her? Every single one of us is going to go through this period that Maryam alayhi salam went through. We're going to go through a time in our life, or maybe we're going through it right now, or maybe we've already gone through something so painful. And in that time process, we are going to question, and we are going to wonder, and we are going to try our best to see the wisdom of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. And in that process, something that we often do as just natural human beings is we step away, which we need to do. We need to sometimes just step away and focus internally. That's so critical. But at the same time, when we're going through hardship, we sometimes feel unworthy. We sometimes feel like maybe this is a test because I committed a sin. Maybe this is something that's happening because Allah is displeased with me. Maybe the reason that this is not opening, this door is not opening, is because Allah is not answering my dua. But why doesn't He want to answer my dua? Is it because I was not sincere enough? My first pregnancy, I lost my baby. And I remember all of the thoughts that I was having was it because I was not sincere enough in my prayer? Was it because I wasn't making more intentional dua? Was it because I had done something without realizing it? Did I not pray enough sunnah? Everything I thought about was about my worship. And it took some time for me to realize, why am I basing this on my worship instead of realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan that I cannot see? Why don't I put my trust in Him instead of thinking that He's so angry with me that He would punish me by causing me to lose my first baby? When I framed it in the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, you know, the one verse that got me through it was the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam. When she loses her Musa alayhi salam and he leaves, right? He is promised to go back to her. He is promised to go back to her. And in paradise, inshallah, all those who've lost someone, inshallah, they will be brought back in paradise, ya Rabb. But the point I'm trying to share is, for me, it became all about what I'm doing wrong. Instead of focusing on how can I use this moment to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is through the lens of intimate loss. When I made that personal shift and I realized that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost every single one of his children in his lifetime except Fatima radiallahu anha. And in his lifetime, on his deathbed, he told her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she is going to die. He was not spared the pain and the grief of losing his last child in his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anha. That loss is one that you can't feel unless you lose. And may Allah protect all of your loved ones. May Allah protect every single person that you love and that I love. And may Allah protect all of us and give us long lives of health and energy and worship for His sake. But if you have lost someone, you know how hard it is. And you never get over that. You never stop missing them. It's just that the pain is not as sharp as a knife stabbing you in the heart. And when you go through that process and realize that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself went through it over and over and over and over again, it allows you to get to know Allah in a depth that you may never have experienced had, alhamdulillah, everything been so easy at all times. Why was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so relatable to every single one of us? Why? Because he went through the type of hardship that every single different type of person experiences in their lives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wept for his mother, sobbed for his mother for decades after her death. Decades. He would sit and weep at her grave to the point that it's like a boiling kettle. The sound of a boiling kettle, that amount of sobbing from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that type of sobbing, you only know that feeling when you've gone through that feeling. So when we go through that and we remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself went through that, when we make dua, it's not about, oh Allah, was it because I wasn't sincere enough when I was praying or I didn't do enough good deeds? It's, oh Allah, I trust you, and in my journey to you, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to rework on my heart. I'm going to try to draw closer to you, but also I'm not going to lose hope in you. Because when I make it about my deeds instead of His mercy, when I make it about myself instead of who He is, I then limit the vastness of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. When he answered Zakariya alayhi salam in his 90s, when he made Maryam alayhi salam pregnant miraculously, and then what? Chose her to go out to her people. Why? Because when you are going through that hardship, sometimes all you want to do is lock yourself in a room. But what you need to do sometimes is, yes, do that, and go through therapy and seek support and have self-care time, all of that. But also, it is still your responsibility to go out and call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what that might look like is simply being kind to family. What that might look like is going to work and showing up when you don't want to, or coming to Masjid al-Aqsa to find healing and to come back to Him and forgiveness. But the point is that Maryam alayhi salam did not have to go out. Allah could have chosen someone else instead of her. But He chose her to go out and go out with her baby and stand in front of the people, despite all of the conversation she had just been having about how she feels about the whole circumstance, her emotional state. She was still chosen. Every single one of us is here for a reason. We're in Masjid al-Aqsa, the place that all of these companions came to, and they established a place of learning and scholarship. And that loss for our civilization as an ummah, that loss, as we see, has crippled us in every single way. But you know, there's a mujaddid that comes every 100 years, and the women and the men that are here right now, we are the generation before the mujaddid is supposed to come. We don't know what we are going to witness in our lifetime. May Allah increase our lifespan and bless us with many years of health to witness it and to work for it. But we are part of setting up a society in which that person will, inshallah, be ready to stand up with the message and the people that support them to it. When we look, like we mentioned earlier, at the people who came and changed the way that people interacted with one another and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was through their knowledge of who He is. We come to know Him through our hardships, and we come to have hope in Him through our dua. So when you're going to Him, remember what Zakaria alayhi salam did. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَا رَبَّهُ. He went immediately and made dua. And what did he do? He made dua like this. We're going to end with making dua together, inshallah, because I want you to feel how he made dua. So we're going to face the Qibla like this. Okay? So how did he make dua? It's an etiquette to face the Qibla. It's an etiquette to put your hands out. And we are going to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like we need Him desperately. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbana, lak alhamd. Ya Rabbana, thank You for honoring us to be here in Masjid al-Aqsa. Allahumma, thank You, Ya Allah, for choosing us to come to Masjid al-Aqsa. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Oh Allah, Allahumma, we have all come here, every single one of us, witnessing that this place is a place that You have chosen. Witnessing, Ya Allah, that this place is a place that You have made holy. Oh Allah, as You honored Your prophets with being here, as You chose Your angels to be in this place, oh Allah, honor us with coming back over and over again. Allahumma, forgive us in this moment and bless every single person that we love. Oh Allah, every single one of us has needs of our hearts. Allahumma, this is amongst the last days of Ramadan, and we can feel that there is a moisture in the air. And if it's going to rain, Ya Rabbi, or if it's raining, it's another time that You answer dua. So, oh Allah, we come to You with every single need of our heart. And Allahumma, if You do not answer us, who is going to answer us? Allahumma la taruddana kha'ibin. Allahumma, don't turn us away. Allahumma, don't turn us away. If You turn us away, who is going to answer us? If You turn us away, Ya Rabbana, who is going to answer us? Allahumma, answer us. Allahumma, answer us. Allahumma, You told us in Your book, and Your word is the truth. Ud'uni astajib lakum. You told us, Ya Allah, make dua to me, and I will respond. So we are here, Ya Rabbana, making dua to You, and You promised to respond. Every single one of us have needs of our hearts, Ya Rabbana, that only You know. Allahumma, answer the needs of our hearts. You are innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. You are the one, Ya Rabbana, who hears, and You know our futures. Answer us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, because without You, Ya Rabbana, there is nowhere we can go. If You turn us away, there is nowhere we can go. Please be pleased with us. Make us of the people that You love. Allahumma, You see our weakness. Allahumma, in front of You, we are nothing. Ya Rabbana, answer us, answer us, answer us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. Wa Salamun Ala Al-Mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ameen. When Zakaria alayhi salam was making dua, he made dua talking about his state, his physical state, that he had become old and he'd become weak and he felt frail. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about your physical state. That if He does not answer you, who is going to answer you? If He doesn't accept you, where are you going to go? Talk to Him with desperation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that He will respond. It may be exactly what you're asking for, it may be in the hereafter, it may be better than what you're asking for, or He may avert something from you that is going to be a means of harm, but the point is He will always answer. So the Prophet ﷺ, when the companions realized this, they said that they want to make more dua, and he told them, make even more dua, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always answer you. He promises that He listens, and when you make dua to Him, He loves to hear your voice. So call to Him and know that He loves when you call. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you for waiting through the super cold a day that you have to leave. We're going to end unless you have one question.
A lot of the issues that you talked about are issues that we face today in terms of loss of life, losing a child, depression, anxiety. A bit of an open-ended question, but could you choose another kind of issue that we face today and a solution to it? Just like you mentioned about anxiety, depression, losing a child, and coping mechanisms. Can you choose another issue that, especially the youth face today, and how we can like have a solution towards it?
Can you give me an example of one?
I don't know, maybe higher divorce or anything like that. You know, something that we face in society.
Did you say divorce?
Yeah, something along those lines. Like higher divorce rates now that we see that we didn't maybe see before. An issue like that. Does that make sense? It's very open-ended, I understand.
Okay, so but let me make sure I understand the question. So, like, why is that happening? Or what is the solution to it?
The solution to it.
Okay, so that's like such a broad point. Thank you, I appreciate you mentioning it. I keep it broad because everyone is going through something different.
Okay.
But when it comes to something like a higher divorce rate, I mean, something like that would definitely need the help of a
psychologists and therapists and researchers. What I will say is that when I hear people talking about this, I feel like there's this call that people say, like, oh, there's, you know, there's so much happening, there's higher divorce because people are not as connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something like that. And I just think, really, when we look at the time of the companions, they would get divorced and remarried, or widowed and remarried, and widowed and remarried. It's very different from the way that we see it in culture today. And so in something like this, I think even changing the way we talk about it, if people are getting divorced at higher rates, it's not necessarily because they're not trying. Perhaps it's because in the beginning they were never compatible in the first place, and maybe their families pushed them to get married, or maybe they never asked all those premarital questions that they should have asked. Like, there are strategic things our community can do to support premarital counseling or helping people get to know one another without saying you can only talk 3 times then you have to get married, or in fact you're going to see each other on your wedding day. I actually know people who've seen each other on their wedding, that's the day they got married. So, like, those are contributing factors to divorce. Many people used to still stay married even if they hated each other. Like, that was just part of the culture. But now I think things are changing. So that's a great question. I don't know if I'm the best person to answer it. I'll just say those are some of the thoughts I have when I hear people, like, talk about it. I'm sorry that I didn't help with that.
It was very open-ended. Right?
It was super open-ended. Yeah, that was your fault, not mine.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Does anyone have another question? Or want to make a point about this point? May Allah bless you all. It was such an honor to be in Aqsa with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return us over and over again, together, over and over again. And may Allah bless Sheikh Zayed and Al Buruj and all of you who've been working in doing so much. It was such a gift to be with you in the last 10 nights. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Please forgive me for my shortcomings. And if you have any, I would love to stay connected with you guys. You can message me anytime on Instagram at the Miriam Amir. Don't message me on TikTok because I don't get messages, but I would love to message with you. So please stay in touch. I would love to stay connected, inshallah. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.